Hi, my name is Karen DeLoach, and I am a creativity specialist. I'm an artist and art mentor, and I teach art in college using textbooks I've written. And I am looking forward to my conversation with Pearl today.
Hey, everybody, it's Pearl with Women's Successful Living, and you are listening to Conversations with Pearl. And I'm so excited to speak to our special guest. She's actually coming in all the way from Germany today. So how cool is this that we are far reaching with our show? And so today we're talking with Karen DeLoach, and she is an artist and art mentor, and now an author and creativity specialist. She teaches art, history, and appreciation in college using textbooks that she has written. As a 30-year plus homeschool mom, private and public school teacher, she has taught in schools, classrooms, studios, and now teaches online. Karen also teaches a Zoom filmmaking class with a group of Ugandan rescued youths. How cool is that? Her husband, Jer, and herself have a home-based ministry home group as well. I want to welcome you to the show, Karen. So excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Pearl, for having me. It's a delight.
Yeah. So you're all the way in Germany. So take us through your journey of what brought you to do what you're doing today? And so kind of bring us back to maybe when you were younger and what led you to what you are doing today.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, you know, I get a hint from my clients, and I always ask that question. What did you love to do before you were six? What kind of creative outlets did you enjoy? Did you like to color? Did you like to dance? Did you like to sing? Bang on drums? Did you play in the playground and organize little plays? Did you like to write? You know, as soon as you could learn to write, did you love writing and doing poems, singing and making up stories? And those are all hints for the ways that you are creative, because I believe with all my heart that everyone is creative. So of course, I was somebody that used crayons, and quite frankly, the paper wasn't big enough. I got into so much trouble because I actually colored on the walls repeatedly because, you know, my mom didn't realize someday I was going to be a muralist and people would pay me to paint on their walls. But, you know, we get these hints based on what we enjoyed and what really got us excited when we were children. And if you ask a room of five-year-olds, you know, do you want to color? Do you want to dance? Do you want to sing? Do you want to bang on drums, play outside? They're going to say yes. Unfortunately, if you ask a room of 15-year-olds that same question, maybe 10% say yes. So my question is, what happens in those 10 years? Did they lose their creative drive? No. Unfortunately, we have a education system that for the most part encourages and trains and tests and scores and then employs left brain logical thinking. Nothing wrong with left brain logical thinking. We need it. What has happened in the meantime is this very sensitive, intuitive, imaginative part of our half of our brain has been left out of the equation. It's at least been trivialized, if not wounded, because it is sensitive. And people, so many people that I talk to have stories of somebody just saying, you didn't color in the lines, or, you know, you can't do that. You can't sing, you can't dance, you can't. And this gets deep into our souls and causes wounds, and we believe it, you know, and I'm an example of it. I got to college in theater and in art, and I love to draw. I love to draw people. And I did well in drawing classes. And then I went into painting classes, which was my major. Unfortunately, I had professors that did not agree that that should be what I did. They used four-letter words to describe my artwork. And I was devastated. Absolutely. I tried even another college over the summer to try other teachers to see if I could get a different opinion. No such luck. And I came into agreement with that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't a painter. I switched to ceramics and sculpture for graduate school, and I couldn't finish a painting for almost 20 years. Literally would try, hit a wall, hit a hard place, and leave the canvas. And then I saw this stack of canvases and went, what is wrong with me? And realized I really believed I wasn't good enough. And I'm not alone. I'm not alone in thinking this in people's hearts and minds. And I got a mentor who had been to the Chicago Art Institute, and Bob taught me how to paint. And because I didn't want to do abstract expressionism, which is a valid art form, but I wanted to paint people. I wanted to paint landscapes and things that I could see. And I needed better skills than I was getting. And he trained me. And so it not only made me a better artist, but it made me a better teacher because I use those foundational, fundamental skills in teaching my own students. Even my college students have to draw. I make them, you know, if they're going to appreciate it, they're going to try it, you know, and they don't get tested on talent, which freaks them out. But they all find out that they can learn to draw. And that excites me.
I love that. You touch on so many really amazing things there. Like, you know, like what we did before we were six, it's so important. And it reminds me of, you know, for me, when you said that, and I think back, and I've been doing, because I do self-care and I help women at midlife, like about that 42 and plus, like start identifying things that have held us back, that don't let us move forward. And I've been doing more and more work, because since I've talked to you last, because usually for the people that are listening, I'll do a pre-interview with the guests just to, you know, get to know each other and talk about the show and what to expect when they're on the show. And so I think maybe when I was talking to you, I was heading to go visit, help my mom possibly move here to Florida with me. And it's all went south, and the people that are listening, you know, go back and listen to the episodes. I have talked about that before, but I realized in doing the work since coming home, like, you know, I had to process that inner child work that said, why? Like the little girl's asking, why is my mom treating me this way? Right. And I started thinking about, like, before I was six, a lot of it happened. You know, my mom had me. She wasn't even, you know, she's barely 18, 19 years old. And then, you know, she had a spouse that went off to war. So I took her teen years away, basically. So all that stuff I had to learn to unpack and understand that it doesn't have to define me. And, you know, and like you said, like knowing, like, I love how you talk about the crayons got you in trouble, like knowing what our artistic minds are, you know, and that, like you said, the, and I've seen this in school where we have, since, I mean, I graduated high school in 82. And since I graduated, I've seen so much of a journey of the schools have shifted where we've taken art away. We've taken, in some schools, drama away. You know, we have chorus, we have band, but I can't sing. You don't want me singing. I certainly can't play an instrument. And, you know, so we don't have some of those, you know, we've added technology things in there and, you know, and stuff like that. But we have taken that, and I can see how, like what you said, I wrote down, we've quieted the right side of the brain. We've like got it a little quiet. We're not engaging it, you know, and it's so important because as we get older, we need that side of the brain to help us with things that, you know, are those negative thoughts and those things that tell us and sabotage us and judge us in our self-care and in our world. So I like that you also share that, how it affects you for over 20 years. Like for over 20 years, you kept that creativity of you quiet. You kept it dormant. And then you knew in your heart and your passion that was something that you wanted to do. So you did something that many people struggle with. And that is, you went and got a mentor. You went and asked for help. And you know, I want to talk about that a little bit. Like the art of asking for help can be very overwhelming for people. I know, like when I'm coaching my clients and I'm working with them, for me to ask them to step all in, it's like, get lost. I'm overwhelmed. Step away from me, Pearl. I don't want to do that. But if I can ask them to give me, you know, just give me your toes from your right foot. Just give me a little bit of your toes in your right foot. I'll drag the rest of the foot out slowly. And then you know what? The next time we'll get that other foot, the left foot with us. If we looked at life of asking for help as just, it's okay to ask for help. I feel like we're starting to get there in our world, but that art of asking for help, the art of getting a mentor is so powerful because sometimes we just need that push. Like for you, when you did this, Karen, you recognize that I have this creativity. I love it. Like you said, who knew years later, your mom would be paint murals, get paid to do the murals you were doing on the wall. But talk to us about that art of asking for help, because I want our listeners to understand that it's okay to ask for help, and then walk us through the journey of how that art of asking for help for your mentor, how it has created the things you're doing today, including making money on your murals.
You know, it's such a good point, because, you know, facing our fears for all of us is terrifying. You know, when I was facing, I'm not good enough, I didn't know that the mentor was going to get me past that. There was no guarantee that once he taught me, I would be any good. And so that is scary. That's stepping out on a ledge. That's really an act of faith. You know, and as a believer, it is kind of a faith walk. It's saying, you know what? I don't know everything and I know it. And, you know, seeing all those unfinished canvases just broke my heart. It was enough incentive to say, you know what? I'm going to face this fear and see if I can be good enough. And it really changed my life in so many ways. It's worth taking that step, giving those toes over, as you're describing, Pearl, as just, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired kind of thing? You know, am I going to continue the rest of my life to let this block me? And I'm so happy that he and I crossed paths at the right time in my life when I was ready to admit that maybe I don't have to stay stuck in this place. And it was huge for me. It changed my life. And, you know, I'm going to be 70. So, you know, even though I it seems like I wasted 20 years, you know, I've been able to make up for it and, you know, win awards and have commissions and be a painter that I'm really grateful to enjoy that part of my life. And I love doing that for others. It's a joy to, you know, I'm sure you do the same thing when you take someone and you see them release these fears and get over these things. It's just so freeing and wonderful, and it's joy for everybody. And so I'm saying it's worth it. You know, it is humbling. But the truth is, none of us has it all together. We all need help. Once in a while, we all need help, and it's worth asking for help. And, you know, and investing in yourself, because it's certainly money that I know was worth it for my life. And I try to be that for others too, worth the money that it's changing their lives. You know, and I have a student that last year, she signed up for my classes because she loved art, but she couldn't stand her artwork. And she never let anyone see it, not even her husband. She was kind of ashamed, but she was driven to keep trying and trying and trying. And you know, I encouraged her, and as a result, we worked together. And she just had those great breakthroughs you really want to see happen. And because I have so much faith in these techniques that I learned that work for my students, I've seen it over and over and over again work for people. I saw it work for Julie, and seeing her just blossom. And she's a baby boomer too. She's not a youngster, but she'll have decades now to enjoy her art. She shares with others. She's a deep thinker. And so all of these right brain, incredible thinking outside the box and imagination and intuitive thinking goes into her art. So now that she has the skills, now that she has the ability to pull off what she saw, what she always felt in her heart, is just a joy to see. We have a Facebook group, Christian Creatives, that she's one of the leaders of. And just seeing her go from just so negative, you know, and I call it the left brain bully that tells us we can't, that tells us we're not good enough, that you got to be perfect. You can't make mistakes, when every creative knows it's a process of trying something new and not doing it good enough, and trying again and doing it better. And, you know, I'm a filmmaker, and I, you know, as you described, I get to work with these young people, and just seeing them, okay, well, we got the first one under our belt. And you know what? The next one's going to even be better. And the scripts are getting better. And we're getting a little deeper. And we're thinking about our characters better. You know, it's a learning process. They call us practicing artists. I think that's because we're always practicing. But I create a safe zone. You know, you talk about wanting people to take that plunge. Well, then you have to create a place and say, this is a no criticism zone. We're going to keep that left brain critic quiet. It's not allowed to speak and give its opinion. I'm going to give my opinion. I'm the expert here. And my opinion is, yes, you can. And now try this. And I do exercises specifically to get people out of their left brain into their right brain, not product oriented, that perfectionism says, I'm not good. You know, just shutting that whole thing down and really releasing people. Just 15, 20 minutes a day is what the experts are saying it takes to really, truly start developing these left brain, right brain connections, these building dendrites that gives us a whole half a brain to utilize in a new way.
I love that. Like, I love the picture. So for the listeners, you should have been able to paint that picture she just gave you, and to watch her describe it is so cool. And you, I mean, you're right, because I love to call it the left brain bully, because it is a bully. Like, so in my coaching, we do a program called Positive Intelligence, and we talk about how that we sabotage those thoughts sabotage and they judge us, right? And how we can do things like a way of staging those thoughts, like what you said, like turning off the bully and thinking to yourself, like, what is the opposite? Yes, I can do it. I may not do it perfectly, but I can do this. I can do this. I mean, I can't sing great, but I certainly can get up and do some karaoke if I want to do some karaoke. And it's fun, it's relieving, and it's art, and it's great. You know, it's a blast. And it's kind of like what you said, creating that safe zone. That's what I love when we do our retreats. It's like every year in September, we have a pajama retreat. You show up, we're in PJs the entire weekend. It's completely what happens there stays there. But we build on that to get there every week on Sunday. We do what's called our Shiro League meeting. And it's a group of women who come together on Zoom. It's all safe space, not recorded. And we're there to support each other in self-care. How do we turn off our judges? How do we, you know, turn off that right, as you call it, the left brain bully, and how to let that right brain shine, and how to believe that you can say no to others and yes to yourselves. You can set boundaries around difficult family situations. You don't have to be the martyr of every situation. You don't have to be the risk taker. We walk through all those journeys, and you don't, like you said, you don't have to stay stuck in that with that bully, right? You can quiet that bully. You can let that bully know that, no, I'm taking over and I'm in control, right? I love that you talk about that and how you blossom and to becoming this creative that we are. And we're all creative in different ways. I mean, you could be creative as a teacher. You don't have to necessarily do an art. Your art could be your creativity as a teacher. Your art, you know, even I call them CEO moms. Even that amazing woman that's listening to us right now that stays home during the day, I'm going to tell you right now, stop calling yourself a stay-at-home mom. You are a CEO mom. You are running the household of that home. And that's an art. It's an art to get everybody moving in pieces. It's an art to run a business, you know, and having the open and creative mind that doesn't let the bully say, you shouldn't do that business. You should go to work. You know, why are you home? All turning those off, that's an art too, I think, like learning the art of turning off the bully, I think is so, so amazing. I want to know a little bit more about your group in Uganda, because you mentioned it just here a minute ago about how you're taking them on the journey of filmmaking, and why Uganda?
Well, I had an opportunity last year to go to Uganda with a group, and I was enlisted to be the artist and filmmaker. And these young people have been rescued from such horrendous circumstances that we can't even hardly wrap our brain around. And this church has taken them in, and they provide for them under just extreme conditions. And those 3 weeks, I fell in love with these young people. I did art with them, and I did storytelling with them, because they've got these stories that are amazing and they're untapped talents. When I started teaching art, I brought a whole suitcase full of art supplies. Do you know that those young people went through all those art supplies? I was planning to leave them, and they wanted more and more. They're so hungry for more. And, you know, connecting with the pastor, they have got internet. They're in Mukono, which is a pretty good sized city. It's not totally dependable, but we try to meet every week. And, you know, they're very evangelistic, because they are so excited to be rescued from incredible circumstances. And when I got back from Uganda, we started meeting on Mondays and, you know, teach them how to script write, just taking them through the processes, just as I learned going through film school and being an independent filmmaker and learning all the pre-production and then what to do during production and what to do in post-production. And of course, they need lots of equipment, and I'm raising money now for a lens, and hopefully we'll get that by the end of this year for them. And they are telling stories, and I've recorded some of them to tell their stories. And, you know, it's not to glorify what's happened. It's to glorify what now is going on in their lives and what kind of future they can now have. And so it's an absolute privilege to work with them and, you know, see their stories come to light. And that there's, you know, the creative has so many ways to be expressive, because as you're working with people who are stuck, they also don't know how to express what they're feeling deep inside. And that's kind of the job of the right brain, that sensitive part of our brain. And as it doesn't feel like it has a voice, it's important that you find their voice, you find your own voice. And really, truly, again, it's not either or. You want to build your right brain to be able to do what the left brain can do and work together. You know, and in the last couple of years, I've really studied the science behind it, because I'm an art person, you know, I'm art and theater. And so learning what the experts say has been fascinating to me, because I've seen it working. If you don't mind me telling a story, you know, seeing the miraculous power of the arts to heal. I had a young man that spent a lot of time in my studio because he was struggling with ADHD and dyslexia. And his mom was homeschooling him, and he was not thriving in the academics. And he was a teenager now. He's looking at, well, how am I going to get through this? Well, he started thriving working with his hands in the arts, both drawing, painting, sculpture, batik. He was fantastic. I started entering his work in art shows, youth art shows, and he was winning them. And as a matter of fact, when he was 18, he didn't just win first place in his age, he won best in show, including money. And unfortunately, 3 months later, he had a traumatic brain injury that paralyzed him on the right side. So now he's 18 and he can't use his right side. He wasn't even expected to live. He did. But now he can't express himself. He can't talk. He can barely walk. He can't use his right hand. And you know, after some deep physical therapy in the hospital, they let him go home, and his mom brought him right to the studio. So I thought, well, you know, let's try teaching him to draw left-handed, see what he can do. And surprising to me and his mom, he learned to draw as good left-handed in a very short amount of time. He could even then start writing using his left hand. And in a very short time, he started being able to talk. I got a call from his neurosurgeon, who said, I've never called somebody's art teacher before. What are you doing with David? Not only is he stronger with his weak hand than I am, and I'm a surgeon, but I'm seeing neuropathways, left and right brain neuropathways, bringing healing to his right side. And I can tell you, David now can talk, he can walk, and he has some use of his right hand, but he can still draw and write left-handed. And I have, you know, friends for life, let me tell you, they are friends for life, because seeing how there was some science behind the power of art to heal things that were already operating in his brain. And then I had another student, she was an adult student who got diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, and she was just given 6 months to live. Well, I was facing getting a huge art project done, a room installation out of porcelain in 9 months. And I asked her to come into the studio and work with me. And when she wasn't doing radiation and chemo and surgery and reconstruction, she was in the studio with me. She was fantastic. Together, we did Taste and See Sweet Shop. It was a whole room that looked like all these chocolates and candies and cakes and cupcakes and cookies and pedestals. We redid some furniture. We had a banner, and she worked that show with me. I can say she is cancer-free. And she says, yeah, I did all the medical stuff I was supposed to do, but mentally and emotionally, I had something every day to look forward to. I had something to work towards that I was encouraged by, and to see it in action. You know, she says it helped save her life emotionally and mentally.
Those are two amazing stories. And let's go back to Dave. I mean, to have the doctor call you, I mean, like, to get that affirmation, like, yeah. And I think for both stories, it's like your second person you shared, having something to look forward to, having something to focus on other than the circumstance that we're in, right? So it's the old thing of, you're going to let the circumstance pull you down, or you're going to say, no, I'm going to take you with me, but I'm going to do something more with it, right? I think that's so powerful. It's I coach for a group of women at a nonprofit called Mary Martha House. And there are women there that are in between homelessness. They may be living a difficult situation with a significant other. They're and they have their kids with them. And I talk to them all the time about, if tomorrow when you leave the home, because you've done the work now to move on to the next step in your life, what if you left a letter to the lady who's going to come in behind you and let them know that the journey, while it seems hard and overwhelming, that if they just step into it and carry what they've been through, but work on what they're going to accomplish, how much more positivity they could bring into that person's life to leave, that's that note they're leaving, but as they leave the home too, that they're bringing this great success stories and they've got the tools in their toolbox to quiet that left brain bully. But I like how you said, like, how do we merge the two? Because they do, the left and right brain need to talk to one another, and which is what I, you know, what you're doing through art and what I do through the positive intelligence course that I'd love to share with people, is that we teach them how to let the left brain know you're being a bully right now, so you've got to stop, you know, and let the right brain shine and be like, okay, I've quieted the bully, and now we've got to go do this work together so that we can be successful. I love that, you know, you talk about that and bringing them up together, and like the thought of like. The other part is going back to David, his name was, right? David. To go back to David and think, you know, you think about he did all this stuff with his right hand, and now he has just this function of the left hand. And so let me make it work. I took a course, gosh, it was before COVID, and it was like something to do with a business building. It was like a business incubator course. And she said, go home and brush your teeth with the opposite hand you usually brush your teeth with. And I was like, why? And she's like, because what if you didn't have the right hand? You had to learn to do things differently, right? And I'm like, so the whole point was, how can you learn to do things differently? Why do we always have to do it the way we think it has to be? You know, it's like I was talking with somebody earlier. It's like with you and your business and me and my business, we found a void that needs to be filled. And I wrote down when you were talking about there, you know, two examples, and then also the other lady you're talking about, our second act of life, right? So oftentimes, I mean, you're 70 years young and you do not look 70 years young. But oftentimes we think, oh, we hit our mid 60s or whatever, life is over. And, you know, I love coaching women in that 40 plus stage because they're getting ready in the next 10 years to go to their second act of life. So let's prepare for that. Let's stop the left brain for telling us we, you know, we're not worthy to do the things that we think we want to do. And let's get the right brain prepared to do that second act of life. And I love that you're using art as a way to do that. I love that you're using art as a way of thinking differently for those who have, a disease, a cancer, something that's happened to them traumatically, and that it's embraced, because I think we as a society need to be open to trying things that maybe have been closed off from us, and that might help us, including like simply as what you eat. You know, sometimes what you put in your body can, you know, just that alone is an art of how you take care of your body, right? And so I love that you're doing that. So tell us, what I want to know is, like, so you're working with these youths in Uganda. What's the plan with their work? Are you taking their work and paying it, bringing it forwards for maybe filmmakers to see and or buy? Like, what are you creating with them?
Oh, they've got a Facebook page. They've already posted their first movie on. And, you know, excuse me, one of the things that's interesting is they worked all day shooting and didn't have any food. And I was like, that's not happening again. So I make sure I send them money specifically for food. You've got to feed your cast and crew on these sets. They're so used to not having regular meals, you know, but we take that seriously in filmmaking, because the days, you know, shooting days can be so long. But they do have a plan. We've gone back and forth. English is the native language, the main educated language of Uganda, but most people speak Lugandan, which is the uneducated language. So there are movies and TV and government is in English, but most of these people grew up without much education and they speak Lugandan. And very few of them, if they've had some education, they'll speak some English. But it's important to them that their movies can get out to others. So they've made a choice to make their movies in English. So, you know, we've got some translating going on sometimes as we're writing our script in English, because they have vision and they have ambition for these movies to get the word to get out there, their stories to get out. And for me, I don't want it to just be in general stories. They have a lot of stories about witchcraft and, you know, things that maybe most of us haven't had experience with. And that's, not the least of their worries, but it's just one of their worries that they've had. And, you know, they're moving into the creative. It's almost like they can't help it. They taught me to dance. Their church services last 7 hours and it is amazing. And they got me up there dancing with them, you know, and they just think that's just the funnest thing, you know, this older American lady, you know, and most of them had never met an American before. And never even met an American before.
That's so cool that they're doing that. And so what's the Facebook page for those that are listening that they can go to check them out?
It's Righteous of God International Church is okay. The name of the
and
main
And we'll put
Facebook.
That in the show notes as well. And yeah. is that where they can go to support them in any way?
Yeah, or they can contact me and I can, you know, help get the money directly to them. I have the account and It all goes to them directly, right. Just whatever the transference fees are. That's all that doesn't go to them. But yeah, I mean, it's my privilege to do that. but yeah, you know, the thing that the science has been teaching me about the arts is that it doesn't have to take you long every day, that 15 to 20 minutes is all it takes. Right. And, you know, the right brain is easy to stimulate. And this is the thing that's exciting. Too. Like, you know, you talk about singing. What about singing in the shower? A lot of people may not want anybody to hear them sing, but they'll sing in the shower. Right. And you know that you are utilizing your right brain when you're singing in the shower. Do you know that you are literally making connections between your left and right brain while you're singing and rub-a-dub-dumbing in the tub? And afterwards, maybe some idea comes to you that there was some problem at work that hadn't clicked, or something with family. And, you know, just suddenly something comes to your mind and you don't make that connection that singing in the shower was literally stimulating half of your brain to come up with some out of the box thinking. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, that I have to be a drawer or a painter or a sculptor to operate in the right brain, since everyone's a creative. Here's another easy one. If you don't mind, I'll give some other tips.
No, I'm loving this. You led right where I wanted us to go. I mean, those that are listening, I'm always talking about doing things on self-care. And if you go to my Facebook page, like, so this has been recorded, but if you go back and look, this is being recorded on December 21st. So if you go back to my Facebook page and look at December 21st, my post today says you're going to a white elephant party and you have to bring the last thing you did for your self-care. Singing in the shower would be a great thing to have in that bag. I'm sitting there going, oh, that somebody should put that in the bag, right? So I love that you're doing that, because we talk. That's what I love when I coach and I work with the women that I work with, is what are you doing for your self-care? And it doesn't have to be, I have to take a bath every week. No, it can be something like singing in the bathtub. It can be something like sitting on a front porch and just swinging and taking a nap on the twin bed front. I have a front porch swing. Can you tell? Taking a nap in the front porch swing, you know, or it can be. So yeah, let's talk some more ways to activate that brain.
You know, because as a scientist, you're saying 15 to 20 minutes, most of us have at least that kind of break in the day if we're still working or we have a chance, you know, and I say, go outside, you know, depending upon where you live or how it is, just put your jacket on this time of year. Or if it's not, you know, just take a walk, leave your Fitbit watch behind. You're not doing a power walk and you're not counting your steps, because guess what? That's all left brain. Okay. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but this is not that. This is observe. Use your five senses, smell, taste, touch, you know, feel and listen. What's going on around you? What can you see that's beautiful? Tree trunks outlined against the sky, children laughing in the park, squirrels twittering, birds singing, leaves crunching under your feet. Just taking a few minutes of your life to breathe deeply and look around. That observation is your right brain working. And your left brain is the one moving you through that space. So you're using both sides of your brain. And whenever you do that, then you go back to work, you're refreshed and your thinking is clearer. You can't help it. Our generation, some of them worrying about brain fog, you know, after COVID issues, worrying about dementia, some of the things that's happening. Well, These are ways to combat that. You know, you don't have to lay down and say, ah, you can stand up and say, I'm going to use my right brain. So we talked about singing in the shower. We talked about taking walks. What if what you love is music and you always wanted to play the guitar, you know, and again, just as we were talking about earlier, Pearl and I, about having a mentor. You can even do it online. You can find ways, picking up a guitar, which you don't have to buy an expensive one, and just strumming and start learning. Playing the piano is another one that, you know, you can learn these things. It's not too late. And I'm saying that as you know, if you always wanted to draw, always wanted to paint or sculpt, it's not too late. You're not too old. These are things that are learnable. You know, other ways, jotting down. Maybe when you take those walks, make notes of what you see or feel or think. And you can start journaling or just writing some ideas down as they come to you in those moments of just not trying to solve any problems, just enjoying the moment, being present in the moment. One of the things the arts does is it really helps us with focus. Trust me, when you're learning a script and you're interacting in a movie or a play, you're focused. You're all in that moment. When I was writing my textbook, I wrote the textbook for my college art class because I teach in rural South Carolina. It's not an urban area. These students haven't had a lot of opportunity to see much artwork. And I feel like it's part of my mission to open their eyes not only to the history of an incredible Western art, but also locally. There's always artists around. There's always little local, you know, gift shops and galleries everywhere. And, you know, make them go, not make them go, but, you know, give them credit for going and finding something they like. I wrote a textbook with 1,800 images because some of them will never read the book, but they'll look at the pictures. Okay, it's a visual art. It's okay. I'm okay with that. Look at the pictures. What moves you? What turns you on? Having art in your life. I see on the back of your wall, you've got some images. You know, this is very important. Put art up in your walls. It's easy to get prints. It's not expensive. What do you like? What colors do you like? You know, really coming to know yourself, and that self-care is what makes me happy. What brings me joy? Color. What colors make me happy? What sounds make me happy? All of us have an opinion about music. You know, we do. And that's totally valid. Well, we want an opinion about what images make us happy too. And put it up.
Okay. So I love all this, you guys. This is such, I hope you guys are taking really great notes. If not, you need to come back and listen to this, because this is what I talk about with self-care all the time. Like, you can be so creative. It doesn't have to be what's in the box that we hear about all the time. I mean, I love about like just turning music on. I mean, sometimes even for me, like this time of the year, the holidays, I love to bake. Bake becomes like a fun art for me, right? So my girlfriend and I are getting together on Saturday and we're going to go do baking. That kind of stuff just brings me joy. And I get to spend time with somebody doing that. That self-care isn't always by yourself too, you know? And so I love to do things like that. And like, I joking around, I'm like, sometimes I've gone for a walk, I come across a park and there's a swing on there. Who says you have to be a kid to swing the swing, right? It's like, that's fun. And, you know, and to do that. And I love to the example of like, if you want to learn something, there's so much online. Like, you teach courses online with art. There's so much at our fingertips. There's no reason to have an excuse about why, you know? And I love that you know, we're talking about the left and right brain. One of the things I've been really working with my clients on lately is thinking differently about affirmations, right? So we get up with affirmations and we, you know, we stand there and we say, oh, I have this abundance in my bank account, or, you know, I'm 20 pounds lighter, you know, and go look in your bank account right now. You're not going to have, you don't have the abundance you're trying to tell your brain you have, right? Or you might need, maybe you don't feel as healthy as you do. What if you just said to your brain, what if you changed the thinking and took that bully and said, let the right brain go, what things am I going to do today that's going to allow me to bring abundance into my life, right? What things am I going to do today that's going to allow me to make right choices when it comes to my health? Like, how am I going to look at what I'm doing today to make sure it's aligned to what I want to receive, right? We change it. Because otherwise, we're closing off and we're not believing what we're trying to tell the brain to believe. So it's like, just think about it differently. And that's why I like what you pointed out about doing things online. It's differently. If you want to learn something, go learn it. There's no reason why. If you want to learn how to be a better singer in the shower, I'm sure there's courses online that you can find that and be a better singer in the shower. For me, I don't care. If you walk in and hear me singing, it's all good. You might walk in here and hear me talking to myself, and that's good too, you know? But, and it's a great reminder too, like we're talking about, you know, as we're aging and things like that, they are saying more younger people are getting diagnosed with dementia. It's happening because we're not using that the right side of the brain. We're not letting both sides of the brain work together in unison to bring that harmony in our life, to be able to have, you know, that bully be quiet on the left side of the brain. And I love that we're talking about this. It's been so fun. I'm looking going, oh my God, our time is flying by. So tell us a little bit about, I know you do some online stuff, some online courses as well. So Karen, tell us about what are some of the things that people can connect with you for that you help your clients with.
Well, one of the things I want to say about singing too, you know, churches welcome people into their choirs, unless it's a famous one that, you know, you have to try out for. Almost all of them just take you and put you someplace and let you, you know, I learned a lot about myself and singing by being in choirs and just being around other people that were meant, you know, that were altos, not, you know, not high singers, low singers, and listening to them and following along, you know, that's just another avenue. You know, I'd been teaching a long time and I love it. And I've learned how to do it online. And I love that it opens up the world to us. I have clients all over. And what I do with people is I really start out, let's find out what is it. It's in your heart. What is a deep desire for you? Is it to learn to draw? Is it to paint and sculpt? Obviously, those are easy, but what else could it be? I was also a trained athlete. I was a gymnast and then a college soccer player. And I found, you know what? I don't like being by myself on an apparatus, even though I was on a team. It's just you and that apparatus in gymnastics. I love being part of a team in soccer. And I played volleyball and I played basketball. And it's interesting because I was also an art major while all this PE is going on. And I realized that one of the things about art is it's about eye-hand coordination. So the first exercise we do is the throw and catch, which is what, when we have little babies, what's one of the first things, the most popular toy in the world is a ball. Matter of fact, we brought our Ugandan youths soccer balls. They absolutely love soccer. We did a big competition, talent competition with them, and the winners got soccer balls, and they thought they were in heaven, you know, with these soccer balls. But so balls are the most popular piece of equipment, toy in the world. And when we throw and catch, we're using our eyes and our hands, and we're evaluating, you know, how hard to throw it, how far to throw it, where to put our hands to catch. Well, that's step one on learning to draw, which is the foundation of art, which is, you know, in line drawing is the foundation of drawing. So I teach a lot of drawing. I teach painting, but I find out what each person wants. And then I make myself available up to 5 times a week to be a mentor, to be accountability, to train, depending upon what the client needs. And we do that from, you know, for 16 weeks personally. I have a free gift I'd love to give people. That's a pop-up podcast, 3-part pop-up podcast, art as self-therapy, wellness through creativity, with all kinds of ideas, including some of the ones we talked about. And one of them is you doing a new recipe every day. You know, cooking is absolutely creative. And I love anybody that raised a family, you know, coming up with something.
Definitely artful, right? how do they get the freebie? How does somebody get the freebie?
Yeah, www.karendeloach.com/gift.
Okay. And we'll make sure it's in the show notes as well. I love we're talking about this because we're getting ready to launch and you can join us at any time. You can start at day one, whenever you're ready. But on January 1st, so if you're listening to this, it might be after January 1st, you can still join in. It doesn't mean you've missed out. We're going to have a 30-day self-care challenge. It's called our Glow Up Challenge. So, and you were talking about how simple it can be, like 1 minute. And you can get it done, right? So as simple as 1 minute, you can get your self-care in, right? It takes 1 to 5 minutes a day. Who doesn't have 1 to 5 minutes a day, right? And so if you're listening to this, you can join at any time. It doesn't mean if you didn't start on January 1st, you can join. All you have to do is go to email Pearl at hello@wsliving.com. That's hello@wsliving.com. And just put Glow Up and I'll make sure you get all the information as well. But we're going to put Karen's freebie and all the show notes too. So you can definitely like revisit what we've been talking about, pick our brain some as well. I love that. And so keeping on the tune of self-care, Karen, I want you to play a game with me if you would. And I know you're open to it. So I love when I take my clients through their journey with me, one of the things we work on is, you know, we look at the wheel of life. We have them like grade where they are in their life wheel. But then from there, I don't want them to concentrate about what they don't have right now. I want them to tell me talk about what you have or right now, what brings you joy, right? And so we talk about 10 things that bring them joy. Now, we don't have time for you and I to do 10 things, but what I would love to do is like share with us 3 things that bring you joy and then deep dive into like, why do they bring you joy?
Well, I'm in Germany because I have 2 little grandchildren. My sons came over for music to Germany and fell in love, married these beautiful German women, and they have given me 2 beautiful grandchildren. And so being with the 2-year-old and 3-year-old, you were talking about being creative, you know, these CEO moms, because, you know, they don't have long attention spans. They have very short attention spans. And so I'm, you know, remembering, you know, I raised 4 children, homeschooled them, remembering how much you have to be creative just to keep them occupied, you know? So that's definitely on my list, is getting to be grandma to my little bilingual little German grandkids. And then I enjoyed, and I don't know if people can see this.
Oh, it's beautiful. Okay, so those of you that are listening, you've got to go watch the YouTube channel. Did you draw that?
Yeah, that's a watercolor I did this week of my grandson.
You did that this week? Oh my gosh, you guys, I am looking at the most beautiful watercolor picture on Karen's phone. It's oh my gosh, it's just breathtaking. It's gorgeous. Thanks.
That gives me joy. Yeah. So I had a photo. That's my husband's hat when they were with us last year. And it was my daughter-in-law's, his mama's birthday yesterday. So I surprised her with a watercolor, framed watercolor of her own son. And so, yeah, that gives me a lot of joy. You know, my family will not accept store-bought gifts from me, you know, and I'm a ceramic artist. So they all expect coffee cups and pots and bowls and, you know, ornaments. I make an ornament for the tree every year. And that's one of the things that, another thing that gives me joy. I'm still actively involved with an actor's troupe in Charleston, South Carolina area. And we've been doing Shakespeare for Americans. And of course, we weren't able to do that during COVID. We went straight to film. And we do have a couple of films that we're in post-production with right now. And then we'll be doing 2 in 2024. So that's also something that's fun to me, is getting still, even in my age, to get to be an actor. They still need older actors.
Love older characters. That is so amazing. I love that. And I think it's like, how do you do with the grandchildren? I don't have grandbabies yet. My, as you guys know, my oldest, we lost him last year at 25 in a tragic car accident, but my youngest one, Nate, is getting engaged. He is engaged and he's getting married sometime in the next year and a half. And so how do you do that long distance with the grandbabies so far away?
Thank God for Zoom and, you know, WhatsApp and, you know, being able to FaceTime, because, you know, they could get, you know, see grandma. They're still so little that if I don't, I just am afraid they're not going to. I also take German lessons every day, Duolingo, so that I can speak to him in German. And my little grandson was just saying, I'm tired of English. I want to speak some German, you know, and Deutsch. He says, Deutsch. And I said, well, ich lerne Deutsch. Ich kann ein bisschen Deutsch mit Sie sprechen. So, you know, I'm learning to speak German so I can communicate with them whichever language they want. But they're adamant. They're both teaching their children to be bilingual.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That is so amazing.
Both sides of the brain.
So we had an exchange student from Germany, and I don't know exactly where Simon's located at. We were just talking the other day. We got to reach out to him because the holidays are here. But I had so much fun with him. He's such a charmer. He was. So now my other question for you, we did the 3 things that bring you joy. So what things do you have to, you know, we create all these lists about, I got to go to the grocery store, I got to do this, I got to teach this, you know, we do all these to-do kind of list stuff, right? But sometimes we forget to create our not-to-do list, the things that we have to put on the list that keep us from our joy. So what would you say you would put on your not-to-do list that would keep you, so that doesn't keep you from enjoying the things that bring you joy?
Yeah, I can be way overbook myself. It's very easy for me to say yes too much and not, you know, I'm sure that's on your self-care list of keeping yourself from saying yes to everything, every need that comes along, or everybody that pulls on you, that there's got to be priorities. As a matter of fact, being in Germany sets me free from a lot of things I might be pulled into at Christmas time in America. So it kind of forces me to just slow down and be with family. So that's one of my weaknesses for sure. My husband would be in 100% agreement.
Yes, I do teach on people pleasing. I am a people pleasing overcoming addict. So I had to teach myself to start saying no to others and yes to myself. And I started with a rock simply by using this rock, by moving it 3 times a day, Karen, saying no to something. And so when I said yes, that meant that I was really holding this rock to make sure it's something I wanted to do. So you are right. I definitely coach in that, setting boundaries, and so that you can enjoy, you know, flying over to Germany and spending time with your grandbabies and your boys. That's amazing. And so your boys went from the States to Germany to teach music. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they came to Germany to be in bands. They were invited to be participate in band. One of my sons went to ministry school for worship music and met a young man, and they formed a band, and he was from Germany. So that didn't work out. He was here a short time, came home. But then another guy came, and this is where he ended up in Leipzig, which is used to be east. Well, it's in the eastern part of Germany. It was actually behind the Iron Curtain until 90. So my daughters-in-law were born after the wall came down, but their parents weren't. Their parents, you know, were raised under the Russian occupation, and their stories and being here is so interesting to me. So yeah, they came over to be musicians, and they teach English. They've gotten certifications to be English teachers while they're here to help support them through the bands. And COVID, we think we were shut down in America. They were 3 years shut down here in Germany, and it was devastating financially. Has been really a rough ride. And, you know, that's one of the things people usually ask about people that are in the arts. We don't have a culture that supports the arts like they did in the Renaissance.
Right.
You had, you know, patrons, either the church or you know, the Medici's, people that were wealthy businessmen that actually supported artists. We don't have that as much in our culture. So most of us, you know, we have to teach or we have to do other things if we're to be supported, unless we reach a point where our artwork is supporting us.
And
that's one of my dreams still, you know, to move into this. I do love teaching, and it's interesting because one of my sons loves teaching English. The other one doesn't love it so much. The one that loves it, I understand his joy when he sees people have breakthroughs. I have that same joy. And so helping others find their creative spark is a joy to me too. And that's, I don't ever see myself stopping doing that, even though I try to, you know, keep myself in the art every week. I'm doing a painting, I'm doing a sculpture, I'm working in the arts myself. I don't feel like I'd be a good teacher if I didn't do it. I'm sure you feel the same way. You can't teach having good self-care if you're not operating in it yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I think that's such a powerful message that, you know, we have to make time, we have to keep doing it, we have to keep practicing it. And what brings you the joy is always the number one thing, is what truly brings you joy? What makes your heart sing? What quiets that bully in the left brain and lets the right brain start shining through? And I love that we've been having this conversation. So Karen, I don't want us to end without people finding out how they can reach you. So if you would share, we'll put it in the show notes as well, but let everybone know what's the best way to reach you.
Yeah. www.karendeloach.com/gift. You know, I'll get your email, send you a free gift, and then you can get my pop-up podcast and learn more about this and possibly from there book a call and we can talk and I can see how maybe I can help you with your creative walk and see what's shining deep in your heart.
I love that. I think it's so powerful. Okay. So I already forewarned Karen, everybody, that we're going to do our cards. So we have our Better Questions, Better Life cards. I want to clarify, I didn't come up with these cards. My friend Karen, I'm sorry, Karen, not you, Karen. My friend Carol and her friend Diane used their creative right brain to create over 70 cards that are good thinking cards that make you can journal, you can just hold a card and think about it for the day. But I'm going to shuffle these. You tell me when to stop, and then we will read the card. So here we go.
Stop.
Oh, she got me early. Oh my gosh. This is a good card. And it literally says, what if? What if, Karen?
What if I got famous as an artist or a filmmaker or actor?
There you go. She's telling that right brain. We're going to go get famous as an artist and actor. I love it. I just love it. Oh my gosh. It's been so much fun. I love having you on. I hope you have an amazing, I know the listeners are going to listen to us after the holidays, but I hope you have an amazing holiday because we are recording this during the Christmas season. And I enjoy those grandbabies. Keep doing the art. Keep getting that right brain going. Keep quieting the bully on the left side. And I just remind all of you that are listening today to do the exact same thing. I want you to go out today and remember that you are this amazing amazing oyster. And on the outside, we are working on getting you to open up and see what's really on the inside. And that's your inner pearl to greatness. And I hope you go out today and I help you find your inner pearl to greatness. Have an amazing rest of your day. Had to walk out to let you back in. You've been listening to me for a little while, but I wanted to really explain to you what a shiro is. You hear me talk about on the radio show and the podcast often about what is a shiro. And what I want you to know is a shiro is you. You are listening today and you are a shiro. But what do I mean you're a shiro? So a shiro is somebody who is strong. You have so much strength, and maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're not seeing it inside yourself, and you need help tapping into that. And that's what I love to help women do, is to find your strength within and help you pour it out of yourself, help you become the strong person you are. And H stands for happy. You know, we all want to be happy, but sometimes finding the roadmap to happiness isn't easy. And so sometimes we have to help make that deep dive into answering heartful, soulful questions about what does it really mean to be happy? What brings me joy? What do I need to say no to so that I can become the person I want to be and the strong person I want to be that's also happy? And then empowered. You are empowered just by listening to this podcast that we do or the radio show to be the person that you are meant to be, that person inside, that little girl that's inside, just waiting to come out. We want to empower you through our Shiro method to become that strong, happy, empowered person that you are. But it's not an easy step. So, you know, we have to cut through the fluff and the excuses and the drama and the mess so that we can make that progress. Because as we start making the progress, then what happens is you start seeing the radiant you. You start arriving at the level that you've created, that divine roadmap, where you're finally starting to live intentionally. And as you live intentionally, then you realize your strength really is powerful, that your happiness is meaningful, and that you are empowered to pay it forward to others, to do the things you want to do without guilt, because you deserve it and because your radiance is showing. And then as you work through that progress, then what happens is you become your original self. You become that authentic you that you're supposed to be. Like, you've done that deep soulful work and you're starting to make that path of satisfaction and that happiness you've been craving. And so you start laying down the foundation of your success. When you wake up in the morning, you find yourself looking in the mirror, realizing that you don't recognize your old self anymore, that you see yourself reflected everywhere in your stride, your relationships, your career, and even your hobbies. So as you align your outward trajectory with that inward path, you start gaining that clarity and that confidence and courage to focus and follow your internal direction. So really, that's what a shiro is. And it's not easy to get there, right? We need to learn the steps to become that true shiro, to tap into those superpowers that you have within. And that's why we have what's called our Shiro League. And if you want to join a community of women that are working on exactly these things that we're talking about, that are becoming strong, that are happy, that are empowered, that are radiant and original, that want to tap into things that bring them joy and say no to the things that don't let them enjoy the things that they want to do. We meet every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Zoom. No makeup. If you want makeup, you can, but just come in to be your radiant self, to be that original person you are. Because really, as you look at your biggest sources of stress, we want to help you with our Shiro League and our Shiro method to help you listen to that internal compass so you can start decluttering your distractions and really identify what's really missing in your life. Like, what brings you joy? And what, we're not talking foo-foo feeling stuff, like really what fills your cup? What makes you so happy to put your cape on first? And as we do that and you become that Shiro you're meant to be, then what happens is you are radiant. You have created an opportunity to release what you need to say no to so that you can start fulfilling your purpose. So you can start stepping out of your comfort zone and really into what brings your joy. And our Shiro Method Roadmap is that crucial step of helping you to live the life you want to be that Shiro you want to be, to tap into what it is you deserve to do, what it is you've been desiring to do. And listen, if you're a mom and you've got kids and you're a working mom outside the house, you're not all about the mom title. You are Pearl. You are Sue. You are Jacqueline. You are Stella. You are somebody that matters and somebody that has goals and visions that deserves to create that divine roadmap so that you finally begin and, like I said, live your life intentionally. So if you're ready to do that and you want some help with that, I would love to invite you to a free call with me. Just let's talk about where you're at, how you get to where you want to go. What are your goals? What brings you joy? What do you need to say no to? And I would love to help you peel back those layers so that you can arrive at the real answers so that we can cut away the fluff and the excuses and the drama and help you make that real progress. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 30 seconds. And if you are here and you're listening, then you know that we are about putting ourselves first. We're about putting that cape on first. We're about finding your true authentic self and learning how to overcome people pleasing and start tapping into your superpowers. Because as you tap into your superpowers, you then can take care of those you love, the things you love to do, even better than what you're doing today. Because when you put yourself first, you can become the Shiro that you're meant to be. And your superpowers will help even take care of your family and your loved ones to a much bigger success than you're already doing. So if you're ready to tap into your superpowers and ready to find out how to become your true Shiro, I want you to email me, Shiro@pearl@wsliving.com. That's Shiro@pearl@wsliving.com. And I would love to help you become the Shiro of your life.